The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Keep up to date with our latest tweets at LA News Guy. That's twitter.com/LA News Guy. Sunday morning newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
Spencer Brown is the spokesman for the Young Americas Foundation, and he is joining us today to talk about liberalism on college campuses. Spencer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, liberalism on college campuses, it's pretty much the lay of the land these days. Explain.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's important to kind of recognize that this is not a new problem by any means. You know, this is something that's been going on within higher education for generations now. And Young America's Foundation itself has been sort of on the front lines of these battles for ideas since the 1960s, when you saw a lot of the crazy tactics of the left starting to take hold. But I think what's alarming is that we've seen some of those same tactics, those extreme tactics from the 1960s and 70s, making a comeback on college campuses, where no longer are diverse ideas or free and open dialogue allowed. Now it's just sort of enforced ideological unanimity between what the left says and what everyone is forced to believe.
What I don't understand is the college movements of the 60s, I thought, were about opening campuses up to diversity of ideas and multiple voices being welcome at the table. What has happened? Why are, and we'll talk about some of the examples where selectively conservative voices are literally shut down in the name of, oh, security. We can't have this person come out and speak because something may go wrong. We can't handle the liability. Walk us into this story. What used to be a freedom of speech is now closing that off.
Well, I think in one remarkably ironic and probably very tragic example of that is if you look at UC Berkeley, you know, they were the so-called home of the free speech movement and continue to claim that mantle today. But what we saw was when we tried repeatedly to bring a conservative speaker in to speak on that campus, they did everything in their power to shut them down and to keep them off their campus. And that ultimately led to us filing that First Amendment lawsuit that we ultimately won through a settlement last year. But the fact that these schools that, you know, their history, everything on their campus, their banners, everything they say, we're the home of the free speech movement. But then they've just basically corrupted and gutted the meaning of the First Amendment into making it just we support speech that we like, that makes us comfortable, that we agree with, and anything else has no place here. And obviously that is completely detrimental to the idea of a higher education, where these are supposed to be students, you know, out on their own, possibly for the first time. They're hearing new ideas. They're being taught how to analyze and evaluate ideas, and instead that's just completely been knocked to the wayside in the name of pushing this leftist orthodoxy, these debunked and flawed and failed ideas. And I think it's really having an impact now if you look at the real world, as some people call it, you know, after college, where some of these same radical leftist ideas and practices are being treated as the norm.
Yeah, let's talk specifics. And again, walk us through examples here where colleges have either use safe spaces or call things hate speech. They label conservative ideas hate speech to block or try to block these speakers from coming in. Give us examples.
Well, it's incredibly nefarious, sort of the way that these administrators have chosen to wield the power that they have. You know, a lot of these schools, the policies that they have in place for guest speakers or campus events are put in place in a way that allows these administrators to have what we call unbridled discretion in determining who gets to speak and where and when. And so that's fine in theory, and that, yes, it makes sense that a university wouldn't the university would want to have a way to say, no, you can't hold a lecture in the football stadium at the same time as our football game. You know, that's reasonable. What we see is they allow these viewpoint discriminatory decisions to be made, and that's where it becomes a violation of the First Amendment rights of students at these public institutions. So for a prime example, again, at UC Berkeley, we were told that conservatives, including the likes of Ben Shapiro, would not be allowed to speak after 3 p.m., so they put a subjective curfew on it. They said that he would not be allowed to speak on the main part of campus, and then they said the students organizing the event would not be allowed to advertise it, and this is all supposedly in the name of safety. Now, the problem is this policy was unwritten. It was not on the books. The administrators just referred to this as the high-profile speaker policy, which, again, that definition was completely subjective. And when we looked at it, we saw that Ben Shapiro was being treated disparately compared to liberal speakers who were given basically free rein on that campus, no restrictions placed on them. And that sort of became the crux of our lawsuit, is that this viewpoint discriminatory and vague policies were being used just because they didn't like the ideas that Ben Shapiro was going to come and share.
So you say you took it as a suit, you won that suit, and what was the settlement?
Well, that was the remarkable part. You know, we filed this federal lawsuit out in San Francisco, so a court that is not necessarily friendly to conservatives at any level, and tried, you know, we argued this case, and despite Berkeley's best attempts to argue on motions to dismiss and try to get us, you know, basically off their case, the judge actually allowed the case to move forward. And so we got to a point where we would have moved into discovery, and I think Berkeley, you know, was terrified of the thought that Young America's Foundation would have the ability to depose take depositions with their leaders, that we would be able to access internal emails and records. And so at that point, they were very motivated to come to the settlement table. And so what we achieved in that was we got $70,000 in legal fees, but then most importantly, they had to fundamentally transform their policies on that campus. So that way now it is a transparent and unbiased and completely objective look at how students will be able to host events. So no longer can administrators determine what's high profile and what's not. No longer can they just slap a security fee on a student. Now it's just every student there knows this is how much it costs, this is what I have to do, and there's no way for the administrators to continue this pattern that we saw them doing of treating conservatives basically as second-class members of their community.
We are talking with Spencer Brown. He's a spokesman for Young America's Foundation. What is Young America's Foundation?
Young America's Foundation is a great organization. We're basically the principal outreach organization of the conservative movement. So we work to reach college students and now increasingly high school students as well, and make sure that they have the opportunity to hear the important and foundational ideas of things like a strong national defense, a limited government, free markets, traditional values, and make sure that not only do they hear these ideas, but then they're empowered and equipped to share those ideas with their peers. Because as we've seen and as we know, university professors, high school teachers are not very likely to be presenting those ideas in the classroom. And so we come in with our nationwide campus lecture series, with our student conferences, and make sure that young people have a chance to hear these ideas. And if there's anything to be optimistic about, it's that young people do respond very well to conservative ideas. And we find that that's largely because conservative ideas, our messages and principles, are actually very inspirational and aspirational, especially when you compare it to what the left is telling them. You know, the left will tell them you're a victim, you're being oppressed, there's this intersectional matrix of oppression that you're being kept down by. You have no chance to make it without having a big government to kind of hold your head above water. And then a conservative comes in and says, this is America, the greatest nation in the world. You have all the opportunity to pursue the life you want. And young people, that's what they actually want to hear, but they're just not hearing it.
What about the fact that it seems like you're coming in after the fact and doing this when there's an issue? How about getting conservatives to take up teaching? What's the deal there? Why does it seem that the liberal arts, the colleges are filled with professors who are left-leaning and further those ideas? How do we change the matrix there so that there's a balance?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at any of the recent studies that have been done, looking at even just the political affiliations of faculty and administrators, you know, it's overwhelmingly liberal. And part of that problem is conservatives just don't want to put themselves in a situation, even if they could land a job teaching at a place like UC Berkeley. That is an incredibly perilous position to be in, because if you look at even how liberal professors or self-identifying liberal professors who don't completely follow in lockstep with what the left has determined to be the course for the day or the semester, you see them being attacked by these same leftist students that go after conservatives. And so I think we're seeing probably even on the left a lot of people in higher education who are alarmed by this. There was a great piece recently, and I believe The Atlantic, that was written by a professor from Williams College, a professor there who teaches biology, saying that he felt he was being forced to self-censor his lessons on biological facts, things that are not up for debate, because the facts were so upsetting to the students that they wouldn't sit through a lecture anymore. And so I think it's one of those situations where not only do conservatives not want to put themselves in a situation where they're basically unable to teach, but now I think even liberals are recognizing that what the left has done to higher education is just gut the point of it and replaced it again with this sort of echo chambery indoctrination that does no service to the rising generation.
And some of the topics that have been indoctrinated, climate change is one example. The whole Ocasio-Cortez, the Earth is sick and is going to die in 12 years. I've heard that promulgated through education.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's just one of the many sort of lies of the left that are peddled in classrooms every day across the country. And frankly, if there's only 12 years left in the world, I feel like most students would probably get up and walk out of the classroom anyway instead of wasting their time for another 4 years of the last, you know, third of the world sitting in a classroom. But I think, you know, if you look at what is being taught, it gets more sort of inane and more absurd every single year. And that's another thing Young America's Foundation does is we audit basically the top schools in the country to see what their students are actually being taught in the classroom. So we go through their course catalogs and see, you know, what does a religion course look like at one of these Ivy League schools? And we find that instead of teaching anything about, you know, the history of world religions, instead now there are classes about queering God and queering the Bible and questioning whether or not God is a masculine figure, portraying him more as a feminine a figure, saying he may be a she. And it's just this whole intersectional matrix of oppression I mentioned earlier has just completely ruined objectivity and absolute truth.
So what do you do when you see a class like that? Any way to change it or challenge it, or do they have the right to have whatever classes they want?
Well, you know, most of those classes are approved by either the faculty or the dean or the president of the school. And so, you know, there's nothing you can do to necessarily, you know, force them to get rid of the class. But what we find is that just highlighting that in this report that we put out every year is enough that people, you know, see and are going to think twice about whether or not they want to send their kid or if they themselves want to enroll in a school that's offering classes like that. So the best thing that people can really do is just sort of, to borrow a line from someone else, you know, vote with your feet. Don't go to a school that you recognize has kind of given up and given in to the left. Choose a school, you know, that has some academic rigor still, that values the free and open exchange of ideas and doesn't just say it, but actually acts in a way that you can tell they respect the First Amendment rights of their students.
Does Young America's Foundation have a list of those or a gold seal?
We do run sort of a running list on our website. You can visit it. You can find it on our homepage at yaf.org. That are some schools that are still, you know, striving to be those places of higher education and higher learning and not just sort of re-education camp for leftist ideas.
Out of time. Wish we could talk longer. That went by quick. My guest, Spencer Brown, Young America's Foundation spokesman. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, what's that website?
yaf.org.
YAF.org. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.